T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Something from the Todd Feinberg Show? Listen to the podcast on WTIC.com/podcast.
We're rocking our way through a Monday. In a few minutes, we're going to have the lawyer on, who is part of the lawsuit against the folks in West Hartford for trying to stop the name change for the high school teams. I'm going to get to the bottom of what that is all about. Looking forward to that. Listen to Adam Schiff lay out exactly what the deal is here, the purpose of these so-called hearings. It's not really a hearing. It's a TV show. The purpose is to get... to intimidate, I think, the Attorney General into doing what they want.
I would like to see the Justice Department investigate any credible allegation of criminal activity on the part of Donald Trump or anyone else. The rule of law needs to apply equally to everyone. And there are certain actions, parts of these different lines of effort to overturn the election that I don't see evidence the Justice Department is investigating.
He doesn't see evidence that the Justice Department is doing... The Justice Department is doing what he wants. Adam Schiff wants the Justice Department doing his bidding.
Of course, we have now a federal judge saying that he believes, based on the limited set of evidence that he has seen, which is far smaller than the body that we've accumulated, that the president and others may have committed multiple federal crimes. So that should be investigated. And then ultimately, once the evidence is accumulated by the Justice Department,
yes, then what?
It needs to make a decision about whether it can prove to a jury beyond a reasonable doubt the president's guilt or anyone else's. But they need to be investigated if there's credible evidence, which I think there is.
He's created the credible evidence, totally one-sided, and now he's insisting that the federal government do exactly what he wants with the information. What do you think about that? It's kind of weird. Odd turn of the reality of the structural things.
It's the Todd Feinberg Show, live from the NJ Diet Studios on WTIC News Talk 1080.
All right, this is great. Now we have a chance to find out what the legal fight is premised on in West Hartford, as there is an attempt to stop the forced name changes of the school sporting teams. Joining us now is the West Hartford citizen and attorney in part behind that lost suit. Scott Zweig is with us on WTIC. Hi, Scott.
Hi, Todd. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you for doing it. Tell us about what this is all about from your perspective.
Sure. So from my perspective, it's quite clear. This lawsuit is about holding the Board of Education accountable for their flawed attempt to change the high school team names that violated their own policies as well as the rights and wishes of the citizens of West Hartford.
Or should we then go down the the legal points here, or specific laws that were violated? Because that's kind of interesting if they're not following their own rules.
Sure. So I'm happy to go through that. So in my lawsuit, which was filed last week, I identified four specific policies that the board themselves have adopted and have failed to follow. And I think it's very important that everyone understand that, you know, boards of education, just like any other body, enact rules and policies and bylaws to operate by. And the purpose of that is to hold them accountable and to allow residents and citizens participation and notice in the process. And one of these policies was adopted in 2015 when the board first decided to visit the issue of the team names and images in West Hartford. We previously used the names Warriors and Chieftains with classic Native American profile images. And those images came up for discussion in 2015, and the board unanimously approved a resolution that would allow the names to continue to be used while retiring the images. And the idea was, it was a compromise. There were some that wanted to keep both, some that wanted to eliminate both, but this allowed the district to begin to disassociate from the previous use of Native American imagery, but keep the names, which have been used in the town for more than 50 years.
So it was a halfway point to stop off at, and one that presumably, there for people to support it, they must have felt that it was a permanent thing. Is that the argument you're making?
Yes. And it's interesting because there hasn't been a peep about this process or these names or these images publicly by the Board of Education since 2015, March of 2015, when the resolution was unanimously adopted by the board. And then all of a sudden, Connecticut adopts a bill last summer to withhold funding from the Mashantucket, Pequot, and Mohegan Fund from any municipality that uses Native American names, images, or symbols in their school or team names. And our board waited about 6 months to raise this issue in December, right before the Christmas holiday break in the Omicron surge, and gave very little notice for people to become aware of it and provide commentary and feedback. So they sort of sprung it on the town out of nowhere. And interestingly, I don't think anybody thought this was up for discussion except one or two of the board members who have taken upon themselves to decide that the compromise reached in 2015 has run its course. And, you know, the policies of the board just don't support that. In fact, the policy that I was going to mention was one adopted by the board in 2015, which expressly permits the continued use of the names Warrior and Chieftain, despite the board's position that cultural and ethnic names should not be used by the schools. So there was a carve-out which allowed the names to continue. And yet the board has decided to wipe that away in one broad stroke because they decided that the time has come.
Was there also a violation of some kind of required notice period? Because you talked about how they kind of snuck this up on you.
Yes. So another policy that I alleged that they violated was one that requires the board, when amending or creating a new policy, to provide two readings at a public meeting before they can vote on such a change. And my position, and the position of our team, is that in order to effectively erase or eliminate the names Warrior and Chieftain from the high schools in West Hartford, you have to amend or repeal Policy 1700, which was adopted in 2015, that allows and specifically permits the use of those names to continue. But the board didn't do that. They didn't repeal or revise that bill. They just ignored it entirely. So what they should have had to do was they should have had a public reading of an amendment to that policy or to eliminate it, given the opportunity of the community to speak up, provide written comment, public comment, and then have a vote. But they cut corners, Todd, because they didn't want to give the people of West Hartford an opportunity to participate in the process and speak up, possibly because they thought they could just sneak this through before anybody realized what was happening.
But you're suggesting this is a premeditated violation of West Hartford law done to, as you're saying now, to slip it past without people noticing, and that they had to be conscious of it. And that kind of raises the stakes of what they're up to.
Yes. I wouldn't say a violation of West Hartford law, but I would say a violation of West Hartford Board of Education policy, which doesn't have stated remedies for the public should those policies be broken. But I think a very clear and obvious remedy is that the actions of the board be nullified, and they have to start over and go through the process in an appropriate way that gives the opportunity of the public to participate. And yes, I think to some extent it was calculated, because this issue, this proposal to adopt a new measure to discontinue these names was proposed by a new board member in either his first or second meeting in December after being sworn in, after two more experienced and seasoned board members moved off the board. In fact, one of the board members who moved off the board moved up to town council and was the only remaining board member who was present in 2015 when the unanimous compromise was approved. So I don't think it's a coincidence that after he moved out, the proposal was made and quickly adopted and quickly voted on.
Scott Zweig is our guest. He's an attorney and a West Hartford resident, and he's got a suit that you've heard about, perhaps, challenging the decision of the community to, of the Board of Education, to force the community into name changes for the school mascots. What else can you tell us about the politics around this or the dynamics that are going on in the community? Because it's all very strange. It sounds like this would be an easy case for you to win based on the violations of their own policies that you've cited. And I wonder how you think all this will play out, and why you didn't, when you went in for a restraining order, why would you think that you didn't win the grant of the restraining order?
Well, you know, there's a lot of things to unpack there, Todd. I don't really know how it's going to shake out, but, you know, I am standing up for fairness, and I am standing up for the people of West Hartford who have a voice that has been silenced by these elected officials who purport to represent us. And despite overwhelming support from students in the schools today and the community that these names should be kept, the board ignored those voices. I just can't comprehend how they can claim they followed a process that clearly they violated four of their own policies, and they ignored the will of the people that they claim to serve. Now, yes, I did file an ex parte motion for a temporary injunction last week, asking the court to prevent the school boards from doing anything between now and the July 7th hearing to permanently change the names, because the board has shown no interest in listening to the people or listening to me or the other supporters on this issue. And we are concerned that as soon as the vote was approved, they'd start repainting the gym floors and painting the end zones and tearing down the signs. And we think that would be inappropriate and improper, because our case has yet to be heard by the court. And it would only be fair if they would wait, because the whole purpose of our suit is to stop them from doing what they are about to do. And so I had hoped that the court would rule in our favor. The court did not, and we respect the court's decision, but we look forward to the opportunity to present evidence to the court in July and in the future as to why our application for an injunction and mandamus should be granted.
This feels, very, very similar to a lot of things going on in our politics, where the heightened sense of urgency that people feel in elected positions to do things to satisfy a certain group of voters causes them to not do their jobs in terms of considering the best interests of everybody in a community.
Yeah, the focus in cases like this, and in the case in San Francisco last year, is on a very, very small but vocal group of individuals. And although they don't represent the majority of voters or participants in a city or a town or a process, they for some reason carry enormous weight in local politics. And in California, the issue was about the renaming of 44 public schools in San Francisco that bore the names of George Washington and Thomas Jefferson and Abraham Lincoln. And the Board of Education in San Francisco decided that those school names should be changed, because those individuals either had history of oppressing women or Native Americans or other cultural or ethnic groups, and those names were not consistent with the values of San Francisco public schools. And it's a little hard for many Americans to believe that anybody could say that Abraham Lincoln is not a party who's worthy of having a elementary, middle, or high school named after him. And again, this was a similar small group of individuals who were pushing hard for this change. But some lawyers and some politicians and some residents in San Francisco pushed back, and they filed a similar suit, similar to mine, and they were successful. They had some other facts and circumstances that were different, but the sort of end result was the same. The school board was trying to do something that the people of the community didn't want, and the people of the community stood up and said, wait a second, let's slow down, let's talk about this, let's have a thorough process, let's all get to the table. And eventually the outcome was positive for those in San Francisco who pushed back against erasing Abraham Lincoln's name from a high school and middle school. And I'm hopeful that we in West Hartford can get a similar result.
What else do you want us to know about how this looks from where you and the people on your side of things sit?
Well, I guess you'd say we're the underdogs, Todd, but I don't mind being the underdog because I think the underdog has always got a chance. I mean, Buster Douglas did defeat Mike Tyson. Just took people by surprise. The other thing I'd like to mention is we also have a parallel effort going where we are working on a petition that if we can get signed by 3,000 registered West Hartford voters, that we can put a proposal to town council that this issue be put to a referendum. Since the beginning, that's all we've asked for. We've asked for the people of West Hartford to be able to vote on whether or not the school team names should be changed. And we feel confident that if it was put to a vote, the names would remain the same and we would win. And that's why we think that the board is unlikely or unwilling to go to such lengths. But it seems only fair. If they represent the people of West Hartford, instead of letting 7 people vote on this issue, why not let 45,000 people vote on the issue? And if we lose and the names are to be changed, I will live with the results. I think that's only fair. And so we have this petition circulating. We have about 1,800 signatures so far. We need 3,000. People can reach us via email at hallconnordunited@gmail.com for more information or to find a place to go and sign. And we're also crowdfunding or crowdsourcing money for our legal expenses for this case. The town of West Hartford has chosen to hire outside counsel instead of handle the matter internally. And although I am an attorney, it's no easy task going up against a seasoned litigation firm. So we are trying to crowdfund money on GoFundMe, which we hope will help us get enough resources to be able to fight this case to the end, and hopefully we can prevail.
Wow. So there's a little subplot going on here. This referendum, you said that this is something they don't want to happen. Have you been pushing for the referendum for a long time?
Yeah, we started collecting signatures in March, and I announced it at one of the Board of Education meetings, of which I have been attending on a biweekly basis since this issue was taking place. And the referendum is very simple. It says the team names for Hall and Connor High Schools, the Hall Warriors and Connor Chieftains, respectively, shall not be changed without a vote of the electors of the town of West Hartford. Mm-hmm. And we've asked, and they have so far refused to put it to a vote because they believe that their opinion is the only opinion that matters. And apparently the Board of Education thinks that their decisions are unchallengeable even when they violate their own policies. And I just won't stand for that. So
that's
we're
great.
Pushing back.
This sounds wonderful. Keep us posted, all right?
Will do, Todd.
And is there a website where people go to read about this?
I don't have a website.
No? Okay.
But they can email us at hallconnordunited@gmail.com, or yep, they can go on GoFundMe and search for Warriors and Chieftains or Hall Connor United, and they'll find it there. And we're getting a lot of ink in weha.com and the Hartford Current. Mm-hmm. And we're going to continue pressing this issue publicly until we get the results that we believe we deserve.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
All right, appreciate you taking the time to explain it to us, Scott Zweig. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Todd.
That is awesome, isn't it? A real fight of democratic values against undemocratic values, it sounds like.
Pursuing democratic norms.
Yes, that's right. Restore democratic norms. Well done, Anthony.
Miss something from the Todd Feinberg Show? Listen to the podcast on WTIC.com/podcast.
How glorious. Oh, I'm just drooling over the idea of a referendum in West Hartford over the team name. Everybody in West Hartford, you've got to sign that referendum. They've got 1,800 signatures. They need 3,000. Sign that petition. Oh, man. That would be delightful to fight that one out in the public square instead of the weaselly little let's not talk about it kind of approach that the great believers in democratic systems followed. Anthony, read that quote that you were just reading me off the air again. I love that stuff.
Yeah, this is from the board's counsel, Dallas Dodge. He issued this statement.
Dallas Dodge?
Dallas Dodge.
Is that a real person with a real name?
I guess
name?
So, yes. That's his name. He issued this statement.
I bet there's a dealership in Dallas called Dallas Dodge, but go ahead.
He said, "We are pleased that the court denied attorney Scott Zweig's application for ex parte injunction, but it is unfortunate that attorney Zweig continues to stroke the flames of division over mascot names and refuses to allow the community to move beyond this contentious issue."
You don't move beyond contentious issues without letting people contend.
"While we hope he will consider withdrawing his lawsuit, the board stands ready to continue defending its actions in court if necessary."
Oh, good. Let's have a long, drawn-out fight here. Let's have lots of publicity. Let's get right to the heart of the matter. How many people in West Hartford, because you know the mistake they're making, the politicians in West Hartford trying to jam these the abolition of these mascots against people's will, against without even allowing the population to have a chance to think about it, that what they're risking is getting the whole community into a brawl over it. One that turns its energy on the weasels who try to manipulate the rules to get things done their way rather than follow democratic norms and principles and their own rules. They're breaking their own rules and they're doing weaselly little manipulations behind the scenes to make it possible. Oh man, let's have that. Let's talk every day for months. I've got to find out from him what the timeline is on getting a referendum. Come on, Anthony, let's go door to door and get signatures. What do you say? That would be so much fun.
That would be a good time. I think a lot of people would tell us no, but we'd get enough. If there's already 1,800 and it's 3,000.
Yeah, it's only...
That's not that much of an uphill battle.
No, not at all. Come on, be confident, be bold. We will be victorious because the public is on our side.
Now
Now, back to the Todd Feinberg Show, live from the NJ Diet Studios on WTIC News Talk 1080.
WTIC, Bob Stefanowski coming up, but let's talk to Susan West Hartford. Hi, Susan.
Hey, how you doing?
What are you thinking about this name change thing?
I think I'd like to be number 1801 on the petition to get that going, and I'm concerned that my tax dollars are paying for them to get lawyers to shut down a referendum.
Imagine the expense to deny people their democratic opportunities to express themselves. Why are they anti-democracy in West Hartford?
Yeah, that's a good question. That's unfortunate, right? So we have to talk. We have to speak up and let our voices be heard. Let the majority be heard.
And not spend the money for some fancy law firm to be fighting over the deliberate violation of law on the part of the education people in West Hartford.
I agree. And you know, let's put our money where our mouths are, right? Put our mouths where our money are. Let's vote.
Yes, there you go. It's that simple. Thank you, Susan. We'll take more phone calls in a few minutes. Let's talk to Bob Stefanowski, because I think you're out at an event or something, Bob?
Yeah, we're up in Torrington, Todd. If you remember, the people of Connecticut stood up when tolls were first tried to be put in by the governor, and notollct.com, and Pat Sasser and his crew derailed that plan by the governor. Then the governor tried to put a tax on for a climate initiative, a TCI tax. Imagine that. We'd be paying another 20 cents per gallon if it were up to the governor. And the people of Connecticut stood up and fought that back. And our latest effort is we're calling it a rally for affordable Connecticut. The Republicans in the state Senate are running it. We're in Torrington tonight. I can let you know where the rest of the events are. But great turnout. We probably had 75 people here. The press was here. And all people are Connecticut. They're not asking for that much, Todd. Governor Lamont's sitting on a $3.3 billion budget surplus, which means that he took more money from us than he needs. And we're asking for some of it back and reduce the taxes on gas, reduce the sales tax, and help people get through the summer. People are making tough choices right now. The governor can help. It's in his power to do it. He has the money to do it. And all the people here today are asking is that he consider doing it. It's not a big ask.
He seems not to understand how much pain it causes to have inflation go wild like this.
I don't think he does. And, you know, people are now literally making choices between whether they buy their medical prescription, whether they buy food, or whether they drive their car. The owner of the station here said his activity is down 30% year over year. So a lot of people are canceling summer vacations.
Wait, the gas station?
People are not affording prescription drugs. It's horrible.
You talking about the gas station owner? He said his business is off 30%?
30%. So people are it's already impacting behavior. People are driving less.
Well, it's got to be, because that's the biggest increase, and that's got to be hurting the most.
Well, it's the regular tax, and Governor Lamont has eliminated one of the state taxes, which he did largely at our urging and your listeners. There's still a gross receipts tax on regular gas that he could suspend. The bigger one is the diesel tax, and believe it or not, that's going to increase. He's going to increase the diesel tax by tomorrow, and that's the stuff in tractor trailers and other trucks, and that cost will be passed down to consumers because companies can't afford to keep it. They're going to pass it down to consumers. So Connecticut residents are getting hit from every angle, and it'd be one thing, Todd, if we didn't have the money to give it back, but he's sitting on over $3 billion. Give it back. Call a special session. Give it back. Why wouldn't you do that?
Yeah, it sounds like he's just in some kind of state of denial over the agony. Because how people are already thinking about next winter, which is not normally the thing you do this time of year when you've got beautiful weather breaking out and great temperatures. If you're forced to think about the winter, it's because you're wondering how you're going to pay for that heat.
Well, you're wondering that because you just filled up your oil tank for the summer, and that was ridiculously expensive for people. He's also introducing yet another tax effective January 1st, the highway use tax, which we've called for him to repeal that. So that's going to add another layer onto costs. And And I don't know. Governor Lamont likes to claim he has nothing to do with inflation. Well, he's raised spending by $3.5 billion. He put a 1% tax on food. He's taxing gas. He's as much of a problem with respect to inflation as his good friend Joe Biden is.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't get it, Todd, because it either doesn't understand what people at Connecticut are going through, or he doesn't care. Neither of those are good. We put out a six-point plan last week to get things back in line. And I don't want to say it only costs $1 billion, because $1 billion is a huge amount of money, but it's one-third of the surplus he has. So do things like lower the sales tax, get rid of the tax on food, suspend the gas taxes. There are real things he could do right now to make it more affordable for Connecticut, and we're going to keep pushing it.
I feel like that's that six-point plan, that's something we should talk more about. Are there other items on there?
Sure. There's also a $400 million loan that small business in Connecticut had to take out during COVID for unemployment.
Oh, this is huge. That unemployment tax stuff is huge. That's going to be crushing for businesses. And wasn't the whole point in billions of dollars being sent from Washington to Connecticut to bail out the state for its fiscal mismanagement, wasn't the whole point that it was supposed to make sure that businesses didn't have to pay the burden for the bad decisions made by the state?
That's exactly right. It's the definition of money to help people with COVID who are now staying home because of COVID. They can't go to work because the governor wouldn't allow them to go to work. And almost every state in the nation, other than six, and Connecticut is one of them, has used the federal funding to pay off the unemployment loan. Instead, in Connecticut, they're saddling small business with a $400 million loan that'll take years to pay off and will absolutely be passed through to goods and services in Connecticut, which, again, is inflationary. So everything coming out of the governor's mouth right now is somewhere between untrue and a lie. And the poor consumer is sitting here paying, gas prices over $5 a gallon.
Well, good. I'm glad you're out there hitting the streets and talking to people. You feeling like people are optimistic about being able to make good things happen this election season?
Well, there's definitely going to be a change. I mean, I can't tell you. We'd talk some other segment, but it just feels different, Todd. We got people running up to us everywhere we go, Democrats, Republicans. The focus this weekend, if I can point people to the website, it's affordableconnecticut.com. There's a rally tomorrow night in East Haven from 4 o'clock to 4:30 to 5:30. Sorry, gas guzzler just went by at 81 Frontage Road. So if people want to come out tomorrow, it's Forbes Premium Fuel, 81 Frontage Road, East Haven, Connecticut, 4:30 to 5:30. And we're going to rally against this taxes again.
Good. Keep after them.
People
need somebody representing their pain and struggle.
Well, thanks for having me on, Todd.
Good to talk with you, Bob. We'll talk to you again next week. Thank you so much. Bob Stefanowski, candidate for governor on the Republican side of things. 860-522-9842. Go to affordableconnecticut.com. I know it sounds like some kind of fantasy story, but there has to be a mobilization in order to get what you deserve, which is an affordable state. Ralph calling from South Carolina. Hello, Ralph.
Good afternoon, Todd. Just would like to point out to your listeners and you, Joe Biden said that they were going to allow 20,000 workers in to the country in a two-year period and give them working visas, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Well, right now in South Carolina, it's tomato time. And we already have hundreds of people right now picking crops and picking tomatoes. And they start in Florida and they work up. These are all mostly, I guess, Mexicans and from the southern part of.
And so they follow the crops?
They follow the crops. And right now there's probably, I don't know the number, but there's four or five buses full of them. And I see them every day. I happen to go in the bank and see them in the bank, and they take their money. I believe they get paid on Fridays, and they probably send it home to wherever that happens to be. And what happens is they will go all the way up the entire coast, probably into Connecticut eventually, and pick the crops and then go back to Florida, and they'll do when the crops, the winter crops in Florida start. So you don't need 20,000 more people coming in to pick crops. There's already probably tens of thousands of them here, if not more.
So these are people being given permits by the federal government?
Yes. I happened to see I was in a gas station, and one of them came in, and he had a badge, and it said he was from Mexico, and he was one of, I guess, one of the supervisors.
Mm-hmm.
And his badge was in Mexican, and it stated on there that he was from Mexico.
Because I saw something over the weekend where the Biden administration agreed to they promised to allow the hiring of X number of people from South America to they're agreeing to more migration into the country. And maybe this is the same thing you're talking about, Ralph. I'm just not sure. I've got to go back and read the story again. But it kind of stunned me because it was obligating and putting federal dollars into the hands of farmers that was earmarked for foreigners to be hired.
Well, right now in South Carolina, we have, and this is, I live in the Beaufort area, which is along the coast. There's an island called St. Helena's, and they probably do over 5 million tomatoes in a tomato season.
Yikes.
And that's a lot of tomatoes. And once the tomato season is over, these folks move north, and then in another 2 or 3 weeks, it'll be watermelon season. So they will come back, and they'll harvest the watermelons. And there are tens of thousands of watermelons, if not more, in these fields, believe me.
All right, so there is a lot of work to do. And you know, if there is nobody to pick, what would happen to the crop if these people weren't coming?
The crop is rotten in the field, and I totally agree with that. I think it's great that they let these folks in to pick the crops, but they should not be made citizens. If they want to become an American citizen, then get in line.
Yes.
And wait your turn.
Yes.
But have them come here and pick and then go back, I guess, to wherever they're from for whatever when the season is.
No, absolutely. Everybody's got to follow the law, especially the Democrats. They've got to start doing that. Thank you, Ralph. Mike in Plainville. Hi, Mike.
Here's the thing, okay? I never thought I'd see things get this bad, but you can wear a certain kind of T-shirt in a restaurant, say a rainbow-colored T-shirt, but say if I walk into a restaurant wearing a Trump T-shirt or an old gray road jersey from the Cleveland Indians that says Indians on it, the chances are they'll throw me out because it's offensive. And if I don't leave, they'll have me arrested for breach of peace. But you can wear just about any other kind of T-shirt in a restaurant, and they won't bother you.
Well, that's probably true. Yeah, as long as you don't mention Trump or the...
damn sensitive. Okay, here's another one.
Yeah.
Simsbury High School, their nickname is the Trojans, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you might get some wacko that lives in that town saying that they got to change the name Trojans to something else because it implies birth control. Okay?
Mike, thank you very much for the call. It's good to hear from you, as always. All right, well, that was a... I'm really excited. My mind is just racing over this, where we're going next with the referendum. I'm really eager for there to be a referendum in West Hartford. I'm thinking about after the vote, when the return of the high school mascot names is passed by the people, a big party at Arethusa, big ice cream party. What do you think, Anthony? That'd be good, huh? Only chocolate ice cream with chocolate chips.
That's
chocolate
communism chips. Now.
What is?
You're picking everyone's flavor.
Well, I just want them to be happy. I know what's best for them. They will call me dear leader after that.
They'll bow down after you eat chocolate.
Oh, is it really? We're going early to traffic?
Oh, I don't know. I guess I just hit it early.
Okay.
Does Mark like chocolate?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Still shining his shoes. No, he's
absolutely. Here. Absolutely. Chocolate's
straight
fine
chocolate.
With me.
You like it with a lot of junk in it?
You know what I like? Friendly's makes a chocolate chip almond ice cream that I really like.
That sounds
good. So they got chocolate chips and almonds in it, and it's very, very good. So yeah, you throw almonds and chocolate chips in it, I'm definitely there.
You're a happy
definitely
guy,
there.
Huh?
Anything to do with ice cream, I'm a happy guy. That's my big weakness. I will totally admit that.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.